This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
All right. Yeah, what's going on? There's some economic news this week that sounds pretty substantial and impactful, but maybe not. I'm no economist, but I do know a few, and we're going to talk with one right now, Moshe Lander, an economist from Concordia University, and always a great insight on these kind of topics. Moshe, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
You hedged quite nicely there. You do sound like an economist.
I may sound like one, but I'm not. Let's go through a couple of the issues that came out this week that I think are pretty interesting. Starting with the price of oil. I just checked before the show started. We're at $68.52 this morning. Provincial budget sets the price at $79 a barrel, and that will keep them, you know, in the surplus position to balance the books. So they say $75 a barrel. Now that's on an annual basis. So now that we're seeing the price drop below $70, how big of a concern is that, do you think?
Well, if you take a look at the budget, usually they'll give you a month-by-month forecast as to what they think is going to happen. So you did say that the average over the year. Is 75, right, to break even. So obviously that means then that they're anticipating that there are some months where it would be below the average, right? That's the way the average works. Sometimes it's above, sometimes it's below. So this isn't time to panic yet, but it's something that we're very familiar with in Alberta, that what goes up does come down. And so it's not surprising that you can have some of these down periods.
And like you say, no time to panic yet, but keep an eye on it. So where do we think it might be going? Oil's been really tough to forecast recently, hasn't it?
It is, and it's because the global economy is tough to forecast, right? You know, I come on every other month and talk with you about, are we going to have a recession? Are we already in a recession? So because we can't tell exactly where the economy is or where it's going, then it's hard to tell where the demand for oil and byproducts are going to be, right? When the economy is riding high, everybody is using oil because, you know, factories are running full out and flights are going every which way and people are being transported, goods are being transported. But when the economy is down, these things don't tend to happen as much. So we're having a difficult time seeing what's the next move because we can't get a grip on what's going to happen with the economy. And in fact, yesterday's GDP numbers that came out said we're actually doing well above what we thought. So this is why it's a bit of a fool's errand at this point to try and guess.
Yeah, to your point, trying to predict the overall economy, obviously something that's tough too, because like you say, okay, so the GDP number comes out yesterday, 3.1% annualized. So that was what it would be if it maintains that pace over the course of the year. The forecast were 2.3%. That's a pretty big miss. I mean, you're off by 50%. So what happened there, do you think?
Yeah, so again, it's one of those things that, you know, the interest rate increases that we saw in 2022, also something that I've come on and talked about, is it takes, you know, about 18 to 24 months to fully work its way through the economy. And so this is why when we see the interest rates go up, we say, well, we need to take a little bit of a wait and see approach to how are people going to respond. So it's possible then that in the first quarter of 2023, the full impact of the interest rate increases in early 22 are partly embedded in that number. And those early 2022 interest rate increases were only 25 basis points, even the occasional 50 basis points. But the big honking increases came in the summer of 22. So what we would expect then is that we should be seeing that the GDP number should be much more subdued when we get into the second and third quarters of this year. The first quarter is maybe showing the last throes of the party that we had post-COVID in 2021.
Okay, so I'm reading some analysis saying, hey, the Bank of Canada is going to have to rethink their pause on interest rates. They may have to hike them again based on this economic news. Maybe not. Maybe this is just, okay, we're waiting and seeing. Let's continue to wait and see for another month or two.
Yeah, so I mean, they're going to meet very soon and take a decision. I don't know that they're going to increase based on this most recent number. So I think we can probably buy ourselves a little bit of time to get to their July meeting. And then depending on what the next inflation number says, if that increase from 4.3 to 4.4 is just a blip and nothing to worry about, then we might be able to ride through the summer at the current interest rates. But if we see that now inflation is starting to rise too, The Bank of Canada might need to increase interest rates, but the good news is that they'll have a little bit of room to do it because the economy is stronger than what we thought. So the worry last year was all of these interest rate increases were going to tip us into a recession. We're not really seeing signs of a recession, far from it. If it's 3.1% growth, the Bank of Canada then could say, hey, you can afford to take another interest rate increase. And that really shows that we're taking this inflation fighting seriously.
So, yeah, in terms of a recession, is that talk over now? I mean, clearly we haven't hit it, not yet anyway. But, I mean, does this change that? Because that was the talk, soft landing, recession. What does this tell us?
Yeah, well, I mean, soft landing seems like we're riding high. So I don't even know that we're in a final defense.
Exactly, right?
So, yeah, I think that we can at least delay that conversation until the second half of this year when we get the next GDP number. And is that going to show some sign of slowdown? But, you know, the word that keeps being applied to the Canadian economy is resilience. We see it in the labor market. We see it now in GDP numbers. And I guess to some extent we're seeing it in inflation, that it's not quite come down yet to where we want it.
Sounds to me, Moshe, though, like you're saying, I think it's a good message. Don't react to any one month, any one number, right? Like even when you're talking about price of oil, yeah, it's way down. You're talking about GDP, it's way up. Just follow the trends and give it a little time to sort of see where it's going long term is the important picture to keep your eye on here.
Absolutely. And the government will do that because we see that they provide quarterly updates. So when they provide their next update, they're going to say, all right, at the time that we presented the budget, this is what we thought the oil price was going to be. But they just update their information. They have actual numbers for oil prices that they were forecasting at the time. And they'll update their forecast for the numbers that they weren't sure of back then. And they'll be a little more refined. And so they'll be a little more accurate in what they think the oil price is going to be for the fiscal year. And that'll give a little more accurate picture as to what they think that the surplus or deficit might be. But yeah, you never react to just one day's good news, and you never react to one day's bad news either.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. Okay, Moshe, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, as always.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.